Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. We are going through the Bible here. Most days, we take one day a week at least, and perhaps special occasions to go off into a prophecy reality. So make sure that you are present for our prophecy reality editions, and also go to my website, crosstheborder.org. If you go there and you subscribe, and after you subscribe, you contact me and say, I subscribe today. I would like a copy, a free copy of your book, and that'll be a PDF or EPUB copy of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. So make sure you subscribe today, and then you have to ask for the book. Otherwise, I won't know that you're taking advantage of this offer by and you're a listener to the broadcast. And tell a friend, post the stories on your social media that you find there on the website too, and that way you can help out the broadcast. And if the Heavenly Father would have you support this broadcast, First Amendment Radio, any of the labor of my hands, and that way you can become a fellow laborer in His kingdom with me. And so I just ask you if the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father move you in that direction, that you be obedient to Him. And not just to give to me, but wherever He tells you to give. It may not be to me, He may tell you to give somewhere else. So you be obedient to Him, and I'll be obedient to Him. Okay, we're in the Gospel of John. We left off at chapter 1, about verse 17. So we're just going to jump back in there. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we discussed in the first segment how that grace appeared even for Adam and Eve. So I would like to say that I've said it before that not only was the grace that came by Jesus Christ proactive, but it was retroactive. So we understand what that means now, that it was retroactive because He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that every member of His holy nation, beginning with Adam and Eve and everyone who believed beforehand in the promise of eternal life, in the redemption of their souls through the promised Messiah, and that messianic promise was made to Adam and Eve, and it is expressed chapter 3, about verse 15 in the book of Genesis. And I also have an article about that on my website. It's called The Greatest Prophecy, so you might want to look that up. And I may have to republish that one. Okay, chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? Of course, speaking of John the Baptist. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, Well, what then? Art thou Elias? And he says, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, Why baptizest thou, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, of course, John the Apostle speaking again of John the Baptist, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, Upon whom thou see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So we have John baptizing with water in the Jordan River. And how long he did that, I can't say right offhand that I know. And of course, God speaks to John. Otherwise, he wouldn't be out there. You know, he was the one that was sent before. He was one that was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet, that he was going to do these things. And he says that God spoke with him and told him these words. Whoever, you see, the Spirit descending like a dove and remaining upon, that is the one that's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? That was like Jesus' answer here. Does it seem like he's being evasive? Well, it may seem that way, because we come with a different understanding. But one thing I notice about Jesus, he always spoke the truth. You know, I guess, you know, if someone asks us, where do you live? We would give them an address, or we would say in such and such a town, or something like that. But could you imagine Jesus saying, well, at, you know, 1234 Carpenter Lane in Nazareth, you know, because he was a carpenter, and that was Joseph's house, perhaps where his mother dwelt, I don't know, but I ascertain at this time that Joseph, the stepfather, the husband of Mary, was deceased at this time. But anyway, the disciples, two of the disciples of John the Baptist, are now they're going to leave off and follow Jesus, and they go to him and say, "Where do you live?" You know, or in the Authorized King James English here, "Where dwellest thou?" And he says to them, "Come and see." And they came and they saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So, I mean, this was the correct answer. Come and see. You know, where do you live? You know, well, wherever I am, that's where I live. And they went with him and saw where he was, where he dwelt, and they stayed with him or abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So what's the 10th hour of the day? Well, you're looking at, you know, it's evening. The sun is, far down in the evening sky in the 10th hour, because they count the hours of daylight into 12 hours then. They didn't have clocks like we have. They didn't have, Roman calendars on their walls either. They watched the moon and everybody knew what day it was. They kind of kept track of the days. You know, perhaps some of them had early calendars, but it's unlikely that they didn't have printing presses, so anything in written form was a very expensive thing to have, because it was very expensive to reproduce anything. So they came and they abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. You know, so the Messiah, of course, would be, he said it in a Hebrew form, I'm sure, even though we have a Greek form, which is interpreted as the Christ we have in our Greek Bible here. And, you know, perhaps we could take a minute to talk about why is the Bible in Greek? You know, why wasn't it in Latin? As the newer translations are derived from the more corrupted Latin Vulgate text. But no, it was the language of the nations when the Bible was being written. It was the international language. That's Greek was, for all purposes, the international language. And it remained the international language for, well, I don't know how long. Perhaps the next international language that was established was, well, I don't believe it was Latin, because Latin was never taught to the people. It was used to hide the Bible by the apostate church, by the Roman Catholic church. So it never became an international language because they used it to obscure God's word. They would only the priests and the Pope and the clergy could interpret the word for the people and then tell them what it means in their common or vulgar tongue. No, the next international language that took the place of course, of the Greek was English. That's right. English and remains today the international language. So it went from Greek to English. Now God, we read that he committed the oracles. The oracles of God were committed by God to his Hebrew people in the beginning. But when the 70 weeks expired, this is part of the 70 weeks prophecy, that 70 weeks were determined for Israel. And what was the determination? What was the 70 weeks determined for Israel? What was it about? And what difference was there when it ended? And well, this is part of the difference. The oracles of God were now committed to the nations and into the language of the nations, which at the time was Greek, into the international language. And that's why I wholly believe that the authorized King James Version is the transmission of God's word from Greek, one international language, into the next international language. And I believe that English will remain the international language until Christ returns. So we have his word, and that if the Bible is going to be reinterpreted, it should perhaps, and it has been interpreted from the authorized King James Version into many more languages than any other version of the Bible, and it should be so. Either that or someone has to go back to the original Greek and interpret it from one language into the other. But I'm just giving you an idea of what happened when the 70 weeks ended. Israel's set-apart status as a set-apart nation to God, as carrying the banner for the holy nation of God, it ended when Daniel's 70th week was up. And that was about the time that Paul arose and the gospel, and also Peter went to the Gentiles, was instructed to go to the Gentiles, the other nations. That's what Gentiles means. It means other nations. So about the end of the 70th week was where the language, the oracles of God, which were committed to the Hebrew people and to their languages, was released and now committed to the international community and the international language, which at the time was Greek, and then later on translated into English. And that's why I'm a firm believer in using the authorized King James Version. And you'll notice that nobody has taken the time to do what we have here and to develop this tool. Because if you go to your eSword or any other Bible program, you'll find only one where exactly every word is tied to the original language. And that is the authorized King James Version. Now I have here the eSword, okay? And you'll see, this is why we should be using only one version to study. Now you can, you know, I can do parallel versions up here and have, that you see I have none in my, because I don't really, I've had the other parallel versions before so that I could look. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But to really study the Bible, you get your eSword, you download it to your whatever thing you have, tablet, PC, whatever you're using, and you can use this tool for a better understanding. You don't need commentaries, though some commentaries are good, and I like to stick with the Henry, and I do look at other commentaries. I have a whole bunch of them here. I like to stick to the older ones and kind of shy away from the new ones that are based upon the corrupted texts of other versions of the Bible. So it's better to stick to the authorized King James Version and use these tools. And you'll see how essential these tools are when we come to certain parts of the scripture where, you know, they, in some of the newer versions, derived from the corrupted text, they leave out entire verses, of the Bible. They change the meanings to interpret the Bible for you, rather than basically interpret the text word for word. They want to give you the proper meaning according to their understanding. So there's a lot of good things out there written about why you should use the authorized King James Version, but here it's the only one where you can actually do what I'm doing right now. You can look up each word, and you can take a word and you can highlight the Greek on it from the original, the uncorrupted text, and you can search that and see how the word is used elsewhere in the Bible. And so that way the Bible interprets itself. The Bible is its own dictionary. And as far as methods of interpretation, well, the Bible even gives us methods of in how to interpret the Bible itself. So that's why I'm going to stay with the authorized King James Version. No other version gives you this. Okay, I think we should jump back into our text now. Let's see, for law and grow. Okay, yes, I guess I kind of lost my place here, didn't I? Forgot where I left off. Excuse me for a minute. John was baptizing, and John bare record, and okay. I guess I need to mark where I leave off, right? Yes. Okay, this is about where I left off. John 1:34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and the two his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. So John is telling his disciples, Look, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them. Okay, yeah, this is about where we left off. And he says, Come and see, verse 39. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon. So I guess Andrew heard John speak, saying, This is the guy, this is the Messiah, this is who we're looking for. Now, this tells me that they were looking for the Messiah. They were actively seeking him. I believe that they knew. This demonstrates that they knew the prophecy, and they knew that it was the end of the 69th week, and the beginning of the 70th week was about to spring upon them. So they were actively seeking the Messiah. They knew. They could count from the decree of Artaxerxes to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. 69 weeks of years had passed, and it was the end of the 69th week. 483 years. They were in the 483rd year, and they knew the Messiah. And when John said, Behold the Lamb of God, they went and followed him right away. But first, Andrew, he goes and gets his brother, meaning that his brother was very interested too. This was Simon Peter. Simon Peter's brother, okay? Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and says to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, okay, which is a rock, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith to him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and says to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, I don't know how many of you, let me mark where I'm at here so I don't forget again. I don't know how many of you attend Bible studies, you have home church, you discuss prophecy, you watch prophecy videos, and perhaps you're an avid, listener to my program on Wednesdays where I do prophecy reality. And you bought my book, perhaps, or you've read a lot of other prophecy books, and you're looking for what? The signs, the things that say, if you were in Israel now, think of it this time, you're sitting around with your candles at night, and you're pouring through the scrolls, or you're in the synagogues whenever you have a chance, and you're pouring through the scrolls, and you're looking at Daniel's prophecy, and you're going, wow, you're counting the years, and you're going, we are at the end of the 69th week, and you're discussing this with Nathanael, and Andrew, and Philip, and Peter, and all of these guys are, they're looking for the Messiah. Just think of the excitement. You've been waiting for years. You've been discussing this for 10 years, like we have here, 7 years, whatever you've been into it, going, the time is coming, and you're biding your time, and you're going to work, you're fishing, you're doing whatever you're supposed to be doing. John the Baptist pops up. You recognize him from the scripture. So you start following him. Because a lot of these guys were young men. They would leave whatever. Of course, now you had like Peter who was continuing with his fishing business with his family. But when the Messiah shows up, well, it's time to leave, right? And follow the Messiah, because this is an event like any that other. I mean, if Jesus comes again, you're not going to say, well, I'm going back to work, whatever. When he returns, or when you see certain things happen, you're going to drop what you're doing. And, just imagine yourself living at the site. This is the Messiah. This is the most important event in the history of the world that ever was or ever will be. I mean, this is the event. This is the event that Israel has been waiting for. Of course, they didn't understand a lot of the prophecy, which becomes obvious as we go through the Gospels. What a time it was. Okay, well, we're going to pick up here where we left off in our next segment. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. So go there and subscribe to my blog, a little box in the upper right-hand corner where you can put your email address. Nobody else is going to get it. All that's going to happen is that, one, if you subscribe and then email me or contact me and ask me for a free e-copy of my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, I will send that to you. And just for subscribing to my blog. Also, remain subscribed to my blog, please, and share the postings there with other people. I ask you to do that. Share it on your social media, whatever you have. Okay, so subscribe to my blog. Tell everyone else about it, request a copy of the book, and I'll send it to you.